yo pienso en tu mirada, como tú te llamas. Solo quiero verte a mi lado, mi cama.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Zouk. I'm very excited to share this podcast with you because we have not one, not two, but three exceptionally talented Zouk artists on the line for you. We have Joanna, Christina and Anna. Now this episode actually was about 2 hours long, so we're going to split it into two parts and we'll release the next one next week. So I hope you enjoy. Now it took ages to get everybody together because we are in four completely different parts of the world. So Christina, whereabouts are you at the moment?
I am in the U.S. I am in Los Angeles, California.
And Anna, where are you at?
I'm in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro.
And Joanna, where are you? Nowhere. Joanna. Joanna's in the jungle somewhere in Bali. And
I'm in Bali in Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi is extremely good in Bali. She's running around the place.
Yeah.
Trying to run away from some insects. So thank you all so much for kind of joining us. I know the time difference is, I think, like 16 hours between everybody. So it's been really tough. So I think it's in the middle of the night here and in the morning where some of you are. So thanks so much for being on Let's Talk Zouk. And I just want to start, maybe Christina, if you could just start, if you can just introduce yourself for everyone listening and just let everyone know how you kind of got into Zouk. You don't need to go too far into your story, but it would be lovely just to know how kind of you started.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Christina Montoya and I first saw Zouk here in LA. Actually, it was Shani who did a performance at one of the local bachata festivals. And I was just very inspired by that piece. It was like a lumba piece and it was like one man dancing with two girls. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I have to learn it. And then I did some research and I found her classes were 2 hours from where I was at the time, which was just too much for me. But then at one point, Juana Vasquez and Igor Fraga, who is my old partner who I worked with for a long time, and my first teachers, they opened up a class in Orange County, which at the time was an hour and a half away from me. So I decided one day to go to class and I didn't know anybody, but I just really wanted to learn. And from there, it was a very small, welcoming, warm, and loving community. And it was definitely just a new atmosphere. I did like salsa, bachata, and kizomba. But for me, just the people, the atmosphere, the dance, the music, everything was just perfectly right for me in that moment. And from that first day, I was so hooked on the dance and just completely mesmerized.
How old were you when you found Zouk?
How old was I? Oh my gosh. I think, was I 20? I was 20. Yeah. I was 20 years old.
Oh. Oh, nice. And Anna, how did you get started in Brazilian Zouk? I know you have a different background as well, don't you?
Yes. Actually, I started very spontaneous by accident. I didn't know what is Zouk. I taught in one dance school as a dancer, and the owner of the dance school invited this workshop, Maxim and Anastasia, it's a Russian couple. By the time they worked together, now Anastasia works with Carlos Oliveira, and Maxim works with Oksana. But they came with a workshop of basic steps. And the owner of the studio invited me to just visit this workshop. I was busy in Russia all my life. When I used to live in Russia, I was busy. I had no time. But in that day, something happened that I was free and I decided to go. So I went to this workshop and I saw just basic step, lateral, bonus, like really basic movements. And I already fell in love with this dance. But I had no idea that I'm going to teach this. actually I didn't want because I had no time in my life. But the owner of the studio and Maximin and Anastasia decided that I'm gonna teach. And very soon I already started teach Zouk in my city. I'm from very small city, Chibaksari in Russia. And this is how I started the Zouk.
Were you doing other dances? What were you teaching the other dances already?
By the time I was teaching ballroom dance.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Ballroom dances and like, yeah, Latin dances.
Awesome. And Joanna, are you there with us?
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me well? I
hear you wonderfully, just about. Joanna, how did you get started in Brazilian Zouk?
So I used to be a salsa teacher and jazz teacher, and the owner of our salsa school in Warsaw, she invited Pasty to give us some workshops because at the time we didn't really have Zouk in Poland. So I took Pasty's workshops and I kind of liked it, but I wasn't so much in love with it yet. But after my friend said we should to go to the Prague Zouk Festival, and I went there. When I saw the first party, it just looked like everyone took ecstasy, and I was like, oh my god, I really want to dance Zouk, and I fell in love with Zouk in Prague.
Nice. That was nice and short. We like that one. And that's so good. And do you girls, what do you find funny? I suppose no one else can see. You guys are laughing your heads off. do you think at the moment there's any particular problems in the Zouk scene? This is to anyone, really. Feel free to pitch in. Do you think there's any particular problems at the moment in the scene?
I think every scene has problems, big or small. Something that I sort of think maybe it's not so much of a problem, but I do tend to see, and particularly here in the US, I feel like controversial topics brought up pretty regularly here, and it's not always necessarily a positive thing. You know, once people start talking and everything on the public platform, especially, and people put their opinions, and one way it's good because it's like, okay, let's find a better way to solve these issues. And another way, it's like, okay, somebody from the outside comes who's not a Zouk dancer and they see this and they see, oh my God, there's so much drama. I don't even want to be involved with this community, you know? So, like currently, something that's been on my mind a lot lately is like, how can we grow Zouk and just make people feel like it's less intimidating or more welcoming? You know, because Zouk is like, in many places, it's like a small family, you know, in each community. So maybe when people come in, they don't feel like they're part of the family yet. So it can maybe be a little bit intimidating, especially for the people who are already dancing for years. And then new people come in and they're like scared of head movements and things like that. But I want to find ways for people to really feel comfortable coming into the dance. And I just feel like when we have either teachers or students, or I feel like mainly it's people with a larger following of people in the community, bringing up these topics on a public platform, it kind of makes people see them and think, like from an outside perspective, okay, do I even want to try this dance, you know? So I feel like that's something that's kind of been trending lately in the community.
I think a lot of people do talk though on the internet, don't they? And that's kind of what it's
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
Anna, is there anything you think is like, you know, issues at the moment, not just online, but, you know, at congresses, at events, do you see, you know, anything happening?
I can say is that what I feel are in every area, in every city, small, big, in every country, almost, not everywhere, but almost everywhere, have a not healthy competition between schools, teachers, etc., which is doesn't help to grow the community. Opposite, it like breaks the community. And competition is good, because when you have a competition, you're growing faster, and you growing, not growing, not just growing, growing with quality. But if it's competition, it's healthy. If not healthy competition, because someone has a big ego, someone thinks that someone is better than other, it's not good. And this, unfortunately, I see almost everywhere.
How do you think, like, how do you think with that, you know, there are so many different classes and, you know, workshops that go in, you know, same kind of areas. How do you think, though, that people can stop being so competitive and kind of, you know, hindering?
They feel they need to communicate, the leaders of communities, the leaders of the schools, they need to communicate between them and work together. Of course, everyone can has own school, own methodology, own things. But if you're in the same area and you work together, it's good. I have one example, very good and big example in Russia, in Yekaterinburg. It's Russian city. We have there, I don't know how many teachers, like 6, 7, 8, wherever, but all of them, they work together. And now it's one of the biggest community in Russia and the one of the best dancers from the city, because they work together. All events, what they do, they help each other. Doesn't matter who does the event or who has, I don't know, some ideas. They try to work together, which I think very good, and I really love it.
Oh, that's nice. What about you, Joanna? Anything speak out for you at the moment?
Yeah. So for me, one of the most important things is the safety on the dance floor. And I still have the feeling that sometimes we miss it in Zouk, especially like doing like some high big lifts. It's not the best idea if you go to the Zouk party and it's really crowded. And so I just would like to say that even if the teachers do teach lifts, which I sometimes do it too, we should always make sure that students know where is the time to do the lift. For example, if there is a party at the end of the party or at the beginning when it's not too crowded and it's safe, fine, you can do it there then. But I saw many situations where even I saw teachers doing this, they were doing like some high lifts. They were surrounded by people and it was quite dangerous. So that's the first thing. And another thing for me is beginners leading head movements. I know that there are many teachers, including me, that for the first 6 months, they don't teach head movements to beginners, because I deeply believe that in order to be able to properly lead or follow, you need a certain technique. So you have to get to know your body, get some awareness. And when you have it, you can start learning a little bit more complicated things. Especially that in Zouk, we use a lot of spine, like our spine, especially for the ladies. We do a lot of deep back bends and all the head movements. And it's a very sensitive part of our body. So when the leaders do it, they should really know what they do. So I really believe that beginners shouldn't lead head movements.
Yeah, no, I totally agree as well. And with that, do you think this actually leads on to a question that somebody asked, and this was actually pointed at you, Anna. Someone said they would like to know how Anna's ballroom background influences her dance. And also, do you think that Zouk lacks technique or could profit from a more defined dance like ballroom? So that kind of goes to you and Joanna, really, like, and Christine, obviously, but do you think that you guys are saying, oh, you know, safety, you know, shouldn't teach head rolls, you know, for at least 6 months, etc.? Like, because there's not really a defined curriculum or program, and there's so much kind of different styles, per se, of, you know, Zouk out there or Zouk teaching, do you think, you know, with something like the Brazilian Zouk Dance Council or something like that, do you think there should be a like an overall teaching kind of method or a bit more defined? What do you kind of think around that? Anyone?
And so I have to say that I really admire West Coast swing dancers because like they really try to do the solo technique. So for me, like what we miss in Zouk is a little bit the solo technique. So this is exactly what I said before, that we don't have this body awareness. And I think like people should go more to the classes or like even Zouk teachers, they should teach the basic dance technique so we can progress faster, like all of us.
Definitely.
As far as teaching head movement and things like that, first of all, I totally agree with what Joanna just said here, which is actually why I do Zouk Babes, which is basically a followers technique performance team. But really, like the technique in the followers is the same as the lead. You know what I mean? So it's that's why I don't like to gender specify and say ladies styling, and because it's not really not just styling. It's really about the technique that we bring to the dance. So we can execute the movements on our own, because it's really important as a follow to know how to use the movement in our own body without like putting our body in danger and being able to find our balance and things like this. That way, when we go to dance with someone, it's much easier and we're not trying to rely on another person to help us execute movements. But also as far as like when we are teaching head movement, I do think it's important for beginners to understand that head movement does require many different techniques, from the your feet to all the way to your head, so throughout your entire body, and how you use them all at the same time just comes with body awareness. So being a beginner and coming into trying to just do head movement right away, sometimes they do it because they see it and they just want to do it because they see everyone else doing it. So it's important to still be educated as a beginner that, hey, this is not just this can be potentially dangerous and harmful. Yeah. If you don't actually know what you're doing. I have done like head movement safety classes before, which are basically like introductory head movement classes, and that is really helpful for both the leads and follows, so the follows can understand what they are supposed to feel, and so the leads can understand what they're supposed to be doing. But also for the follows, you know, we always address like, look, if you're not comfortable doing head movement and you're a beginner follow, just let your lead know, you know, I'm not comfortable doing this yet, so please no head movement. And if they start leading it, then it is your decision whether you want to follow or not. You do not have to do anything as a follow that you don't want to do.
Exactly. And I'm really happy to hear that, Christina, that you have these classes, because I also have in London followers technique classes. I don't call it ladies styling. It's a followers technique. And I have even some leaders coming to my followers classes.
Yes. Nice. That's really good.
Yeah, I agree with girls, and actually Zouk is very technical dance, but not unfortunately not everyone uses the techniques to dance Brazilian Zouk, and not all teachers unfortunately teach the techniques. Some teachers teach moves, but I think the most important to know and understand the techniques, and after already you can do whatever you want, whatever can come up in your mind. And about ballroom, yeah, how ballroom influence in my dance. Actually, it's a big, huge influence in my dance. From some point, it's good. From another point, not. Ballroom dance helped me, of course, helped me understand my body better and feel my body. And to use my frame, and especially to work in couple, because ballroom dance is couple dance as well. And it helps a lot to feel your partner and to follow your partner. But from, and of course helps me as well to have lines in my body, in legs and arms and etc. But at some point, it spoiled a little bit my dance, because ballroom dance, I used to dance ballroom before Zouk 25 years. So I was growing, my body was growing with ballroom dance. And my body is too much straight, too much maybe even strong for social dance at Brazilian Zouk. Because in Brazilian Zouk, we are... we need to make our body more soft, more flowing, and so on. But yeah, for me, it's in the beginning especially, it was really hard to change my body from ballroom dance to social dance, Brazilian Zouk. Because I didn't, when I started dance Zouk, I didn't understand how I can dance differently. Because 25 years I was dancing in one way, and now I need to dance in another way. But of course, how I was saying before, ballroom dance helps a lot to, and about balance and about frame and couple work.
Do you
can I add something?
No, of course.
Because it's interesting what you said, Anna, that it helped you also in following. Because as a child, my first style, my first dance style, it was ballroom. I was competing for 6 years. And for me, it was like I always fall, it's more choreography and really a proper leading and following.
What?
You just cut out there, Joanne.
Sorry, so I was saying that my dance style, it was ballroom. I competed for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that it was more choreography than proper leading and following.
Ah.
This is true, of course. Ballroom dance, it's more about choreography, because you learn choreography and then you compete with this choreography. But at the same time, for example, what I was learning in ballroom dance, that even if you know your choreography, even you practice this hours and hours every day, you have a technique that you cannot do, even you know what you need to do without leading. So this is what I was learning in ballroom as well. And it's funny, but my ballroom teacher, he said to me, one thing maybe what helped me to follow better, because when I was dancing ballroom, I had a bad vision. Still, I have bad vision, but now I use contact. But by the time I used only glasses, and when I have a competition, I couldn't use glasses because it's not comfortable to dance. So I was dancing blind. My partner was my brother, 15 years, and he all the time was taking me. We were going to the stage on dance floor. I couldn't see anything. I was dancing, and then when you, for example, when you are in finals, some judges in some competition, judges show their marks, show the places, and I never saw. So I didn't know in what place we are now. Last one, first one. And which helped me to not be nervous.
That is awesome.
And maybe this also helped me to follow. Because I didn't say anything.
Yeah, definitely.
So funny.
Wow.
And do you all think that having another dance style, benefit Zouk? And also, I know you all mentioned solo movement. I know that like a lot of dance schools try and include solo classes, but like we tried to do it at UKDC, but people never really, although people wanted to do them, no one ever showed up. We ended up closing down the classes. And I do hear a lot of the time that people always ask for solo dances or street classes or ballet classes, yet no one actually ever turns up to them or, another amount. Do you have any kind of, how important is it to have solo, ability on your own to feel comfortable to actually bring out to a partner dance?
How important is it, you said?
Yeah, how important, or, can it really affect your dancing? Can it help that much?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said before, with balance, especially when you're a follow, like imagine taking class as a follow, you're learning, and even as a lead too, but specifically teaching or speaking from a follower's experience, you're learning like a new head movement or something. So you have to learn how that head movement works in your body. You have to learn how you're keeping your balance. You have to learn your lines in your body in that movement. And then you also have to learn how you're actually following and what you should be feeling from your lead, you know? And like, it's just so much information
how to do it
take in. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you're doing it in heels, it's another thing. Yeah. So it's so much information to take in at one, like 1 hour class. You know what I mean? Which is less than an hour because, you know, you do the warm up and things like that. And by the time you're actually practicing the movement, you're not practicing the movement for a whole solid hour. So from a follower's perspective, knowing the movement in your body is important for actually being able to understand what your body can do and why it does that, how you can exactly prevent injury from your body. And it also helps with later on when you become, you're going to become more comfortable with it a lot quicker, and you can bring more style to your dance, and you can express yourself easier in your dance. It'll help so much. And same with the lead, from the lead, you can still do the same thing, like learning how the body works. You can bring more flavor into your dance, and you can understand how to follow your follow, which is super important as a lead. When you understand the technique in your body and the follow's body, and it makes the dance very comfy.
And I think you have a more confidence when you understand your body, when you have different techniques in your body, you just have more confidence to dance everything and with everyone.
Okay. And I'd love to get on.
And yeah.
Go on, Joanna.
Yeah, so that's why that's why I would stand, like, so I always, when my students ask me, like, which other classes could I take to improve my Zouk,
yeah,
I always say hip-hop or contemporary jazz or ballet, because they're, like, the most kind of, like, styles that gives you some kind of, like, background and basics. I don't think it's a good idea when you start dancing Zouk to start at the same time dancing, I don't know, like, let's say, sorry for saying that, but West Coast swing at the same time, because there are totally different styles in social dance.
Yeah,
that might get people confused. But for me, like, hip hop or like contemporary will support your dance. You will get a really good background and it will make your dance much better.
Yeah, no, totally. And literally, when myself started Zouk, we started West Coast Swing at the exact same time, and we were just terrible at both of them because one's linear, one's stretch and compression, one is forward, one is back. Like, it's, yeah, it's such a different. One's on the upbeat, one's on the downbeat. It literally absolutely buggered us up.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
No, that's true. So I'd like to know, like, how did you start getting into teaching? Yeah, first of all, like, how did you guys start getting into teaching?
I started, how I was saying, after the workshop what I took from Maxim and Anastasia. In 2 weeks, I already started to teach classes. Not because I wanted. Actually, I didn't want. But in the school where I was teaching other dances, I had a lot of students who knew me as a dance teacher, who wanted to start Lon Zouk. And they asked me, they sent me a lot of messages, Anna, please start to do classes. And I started. And when I was teaching in Russia, I didn't have a partner. I was teaching by myself and both roles and leaders, for leaders and followers. And then the first and one and only partner, it's Mafi Zucker. So then already I started work with Mafi, and then I moved to Brazil.
So how did you transition from just teaching, you know, locally in a small studio to becoming, you know, a well-known artist? Like, how do you take that jump or that transition?
So when I was teaching in Russia, again, Maxim and Anastasia invited me to teach on their congress. By the time I was dancing Zouk only 1 year and a half. And they invited me to do classes for ladies. And then 1 month before, they called me and said, Anna, we invited Mafi Zucker as well. And he doesn't have a partner. And he asked to have one fixed partner for whole congress. So we think only you can follow him. But I was dancing just 1 year and a half, and I had
only one experience
to dance with Mafi, which was not good experience and was in the beginning of my Zouk career. I think I danced just maybe 2-3 months, and I even didn't know head movement. And in one congress was at Prague, the congress in Prague, 2013, Mafi invited me to dance at the party, and it was like, for me, it was really terrible because he did with me everything what he's doing usually, but I didn't know even had movement. And I said for myself, I never will dance with him again. So, never say never. Now I'm working with him already 5 years. But so when Anastasia and Maxim invited me to work with him on the congress, I said no. I said, no, guys, I'm going to pay for you guys, but I'm not going to dance with you. But then they convinced me, which now, of course, I'm so thankful and grateful for them. And we had this work together at Russian Zouk Congress. And after this congress, Mafi already invited me to do partnership. But he said, if you want a partnership with me, you need to move to Brazil. And I had all my life in Russia, and I say, are you crazy? No, I'm not going to move. And I didn't move by the time, so I still was living and working in Russia. But we had some work together in Europe, United States, Mexico, but we weren't not in partnership. And I was thinking 1 year and a half about his proposal, and then I decided to change all my life, to move to Brazil and work more serious with Brazilian Zouk and with Neo Zouk, especially what I now represent.
I love it. Yeah. I love how you just move. People just up and move now. It's amazing, isn't it? I love hearing the stories. Anna, just on that, what was the pinnacle moment that you decided, like, why were you just going to drop everything and move to Brazil? There must have been something.
Yes, of course. Some things happened in my life that, like, I decided that I will do it or now or never. Or I'm going to move to Brazil and will work seriously with dance. Or I will keep going, will continue my life what I had in Russia. And at the same, I was working already with Brazilian Zouk in Russia. And for me, maybe it's a little bit, I don't know, arrogant, but Russia was already small for me, and I wanted already the whole world. And I understood that to dance seriously with Brazilian Zouk, I need to move to Brazil. By the time in Russia, we didn't have so much opportunity to learn more Zouk or to develop. So, yeah, this was my decision, but it was really hard decision and took long time.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. And Christina, what about you? How did 20-year-old Christina start when she started teaching? How did you go from student to teaching? And then also, how do you grow to kind of, you know, getting yourself around the world?
Yeah. So, first of all, so like I said, Igor and Juana, I took my first classes with them. And very early in, I was like 3 months in learning. And Igor just calls me one day and he says, hey, how serious are you about learning Brazilian Zouk? And I was like, I really want to learn. Like, I love this dance. And he's like, well, I'm looking for someone who I can train to compete, perform, and maybe teach with. So I just felt like that was just, I don't know, like my prayers answered or something. Like, I was really excited to be given that opportunity and really blessed, I felt, and really grateful for that. So when I first started learning, like I said, I was only like 3 months in. We were training, you know, privately, him and I, for like anywhere from 6 to like 15 hours, like every weekend.
I thought you were going to say every day. Wow.
No, oh my gosh, I wish. But during, so every weekend, because he lived 2 hours from me. So every weekend I would go to his house and stay the night for the weekend. And then I'd come back to my place and do my regular Monday through Friday stuff. And even throughout the week, I was coming back home to train myself at the gym, like 1 hour, 2 hours a day. So I was, at the time, I was already teaching bachata. But yeah, I was very, very in love with Brazilian Zouk. And I think people saw it before I realized it, because later on when I decided to make the transition and say, okay, I am not doing bachata anymore. I'm not teaching bachata anymore. I'm going to change my life and just do Brazilian Zouk and focus on this because this is my passion. Everybody was like not surprised, but I was. It was like the hardest decision for me. But, you know, rewind a little bit before that. So we were training like all the time. I was training every day, and that's from a very young stage. So I was to be guided by somebody like that was extremely helpful. He gave me all the tools that I needed to help me learn and grow and develop my dance, you know, from a very early on in learning. And the idea was to compete at the LA Zoo Congress US Open semi-pro division. And I was scared out of my mind. One, because it's a competition, and that scares me. And two, because it's like, what? This is like, I'm new and like, this is like crazy for me. It's too much, you know, like, how could I do this, you know? So actually, you know, he did the choreography and we trained all the time and we won first place. And that was actually a massive confidence booster for me, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe that actually happened, you know? And, you know, at the time I was such a baby, you know? And that really inspired me to want to continue growing and learning Zouk. So right after that competition, Igor moved back to New York. And so there I was, Zouk partnerless, and our little community of 15 people, you know, just barely learning Zouk. And I was just like, I was so sad. I was very, very sad. Like, I almost felt like I went into this little depression, you know? And because I didn't have him there anymore. And, you know, we had shared so much in such a little time. So I was like, I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to learn Zouk. So at the time, Kim from New York, she was doing, and Igor were doing this teacher's training. So I did the teacher's training there. And I was just, after that, I was like, okay, I need to find ways, any way I can, to travel for Zouk and go anywhere, no matter where it is or what I have to do or how much money I have to spend. Mm-hmm. I was just so in love and determined with to learn this dance. And not necessarily because I knew I was gonna like teach it and like I wanted to really pursue my career in it, because like I said, at that time I was teaching bachata and I was like so happy with that. But yeah, there was something deeper inside me that just kept itching for more. And that later on, so I traveled a few more places, and then later on, actually, I went to the ZNL Festival, which is now Zuka Max, where I met Anna. And I just remember that was my
first. Was such a baby.
I was such a baby. And that was like my first real Zouk Congress experience. And oh my gosh, I lost my head. Yes. So basically the real inspiration that I had from that event was no, not entirely. But yes, she was very inspiring to me. But that wasn't this particular moment I'm talking about. So I was just kind of like, so I was trying to take privates with everybody and, you know, learn from everybody, take all the workshops, dance all night, everything with everyone. And there was just one night where I was like talking with Dajinho, and I said, I just love this dance so much, but it's very small where I live. And I just want to continue to grow and you know, maybe one day like really be able to teach the dance and like spread this dance to other people, because I know there's so many more people who will love this dance too. And I asked him, like, what do you think I should do? Like, what do you recommend? And he told me a few things. Like, he gave me some words of advice that I just really took to heart. And he told me to find a partner and train with that person. He told me to go travel and go dance with everybody. He said, take all the teachers from, or all the workshops from many teachers and many styles to learn from many people. He said, take private lessons. He said, actually, I think he told me to find someone who I can start growing a community and teaching with. And like I said, it was very small back then, and I was a baby, but it was very small. And then he told me, but most of all, enjoy. Yeah. So, which was always the hardest part for me. But yeah, I really listened to what he said, and literally the next day, like, I bought my two next congresses, and like I went to New York, which is Fall for Zouk at the time, and then it was Boston. So like just immediately, literally the next day, because I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to listen to this. So with that, like that's where the snowball just kind of happened, and I just kept craving for more and more. And by the time I went back to New York for the Fall for Zouk Festival, where Igor was living, I was in a place where I was just like, man, I really love this dance, and I think like this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I also was in a place of where, man, I really love this city. New York is just magical to me. And somehow Alex Chang, he saw that in my eyes, in my body or whatever. And I didn't even really talk to him a whole lot. But he was like, if you ever want to move to New York, like, I can help you. Just let me know.
Nice.
And it was like just crazy, because I was like, how did he know that this was like in my head, you know? So I thought about this and I was like, okay, I will only move to New York if Igor wants to partner together, because otherwise I feel like there's no real reason for me to move. So after talking with many people, and actually Kayo was one of them, and he told me, he really asked me, and this was the point, the turning point for me. he really asked me, what are you doing with bachata and why are you doing it? And there was a point where I just really didn't know anymore.
Yeah.
And I was away from bachata for like a week and I had time to really soak myself into this Zouk world. And that was the point where he said, look, you're doing bachata and you're doing Zouk and you're learning Zouk right now, but imagine how much better you can get if you just spent all your time improving in Zouk versus trying to do both.
Yeah.
And that's when it really sunk in and I was like, oh my gosh. So if Igor wants to work together, I'm going to move. So I talked with him and we agreed. And 6 months later, I moved to New York to continue pursuing and working and learning Zouk. And of course, in between that, I traveled to Europe, and which is not where I met Joanna. I think it was the next time I met her. It was my first time in Europe and I was just, like in a whole new world of Zoukers because like I said, Zouk was very small in the US then. And, Zouk was much bigger in Europe. And I was like, whoa, my mind just exploded. And I was like, these people have no idea like what is coming next, hopefully for the US, you know, if you know, years to come with much more training and people who take it a little bit more seriously. So with that, like I really just continued training and learning and taking privates. And thankfully I had a lot of supportive people and people who really guided me in the right direction. Whether they realized it at the time or not, I'm really thankful for everyone and especially Igor, because he was the one who like saw me and believed in me first when seriously I knew nothing. But yeah, from then on, I was in New York for about a year, and actually Igor and I, within that year, we did like a 5-month tour. And that was the second time I went to Europe, and we were teaching in Europe. We were teaching in New York, and then it came to a point where I knew I had to move back to my home in LA for a few different reasons. Like life was, first of all, easier for me in LA. Second of all, I had been in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend and still current boyfriend at that time. And I was like, man, like, I just feel like I need to move back, you know? So I did just make the decision to move back to LA, and it was harder to have a long distance partnership. And like, I missed the training and all of that, but I still continued to take privates and still continuing to learn in other ways, taking other dance classes and, you know, practicing on my own, which is actually when I started getting this idea for Zouk Babes, because I had a lot of solo technique work. Like that's where a lot of my dance came from, just like by giving the tools and really taking those that knowledge and putting it into like very deep detail into my dance. That's how I really progressed a lot. So
that sounds wicked.
Yeah, after that, at some point, I don't even know how long I've been back, like 2 years, 3 years or something. But after that, there was one point where I was connected with Allison. And then that's where I decided, okay, I want to, and like I said, I was missing training. I was missing this and that. And, I went there to learn, went to Australia. I went to Melbourne to learn more, to push myself, to consistently have someone to train with who can, actually I was looking for somebody to kick my ass. So that was why, part of the reason why I went. So I would say like with all the development that I've done in my dancing, I have learned from many people. I have taken privates with many people, many different teachers and many times. And I took a lot of risks.
Yeah.
A lot of risks. Risks that they're calculated risks, but I knew that if I was passionate enough about it, that I would find a way to make it work. So that would probably be like what really helped me develop in my dance continuously.
Yeah, that's great. That's wicked. And I was going to say as well, with Joanna, with you, you obviously, you took a risk because you were in Poland. How did you go from Poland to create, you know, building the scene out there and then coming over to London? Like, why did you do that? How did you kind of grow the scene there? And why did you leave? That was a question that someone had asked as well.
Yeah. Okay. So first, coming back to the question about the teaching.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like a natural transition because first I became a dancer. I've been training like ballroom first, and after jazz, hip hop, salsa. And at that time, it was like many years ago, I was a part of jazz company, and many people from my jazz company, they started to do this dance instructor, which took like 2 years. So for 2 years, you study to become a jazz dance instructor. So I decided to do it. So I got a diploma. And after, in the meantime, I became a dance, the jazz instructor, but also salsa instructor in the salsa school where I've met Pasti, and this is how my Zouk story began. But with the Zouk, we didn't have Zouk in Poland. And so this is where the story starts. We didn't have Zouk in Poland. We had first workshops with Pasti, and we were around, I think, 6 people that became crazy about Zouk. So we would spend, very similar to Christina's story, we would spend all money that we had just to travel to different festivals in Europe and learn Zouk. They called us Polish Mafia. and yeah.
They
and
have a project for us in my festival.
Oh, you see? and after we would come back and train on our own, we didn't have any teachers there. But I think after a few months, one of my friends from this crazy group, they became first teachers. It was Renata Popis and Michał Wysoczański. So they're also one of the people who kind of like together we brought Zouk to Poland. And 1 year later, I joined also the teaching together with Mariusz Lewandowski. And at that time, it was, I think it was 2 years. Or 3 years. In the meantime, I was also in a dance TV show, So You Think You Can Dance, and it was Pasti who performed there with me. So it was, I think it was the first time that Zouk was shown in the national TV, which was a really nice thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of started to collaborate a little bit with Pasti. And after I moved to Germany, because some things in my life finished, and I got an invitation to study in a contemporary dance school in Munich. So from one day to another, I just decided to move there to chase my dreams, because it was always my dream to study in a contemporary dance school. But I continued to dance Zouk. In Munich, we had a very small scene. It was like only 8 people dancing actively Zouk when I moved there. But in the meantime, I went to different congresses, and it was again Prague Zouk Congress. It's very important for me. Every change happens in Prague Zouk Congress. I've met Kamasho, and he liked my dance, and he offered me partnership, and that was how kind of I started my international career. And actually, the festival in Russia that Anna was talking about, when she started to dance with Mafi, I really remember it very well, because we were together in the room, and I remember when they were training in the room, and it was also my first international festival as a Kamacho's partner. So yeah, that was my teaching story. And you asked me also about Polish Zouk scene, how it turned out to grow so well, yeah?
Yeah, because it's got like, I know it's got like over 400 Zoukers now in Warsaw. Yeah.
I mean, even yesterday I talked to Michał because he created like this nice post trying to find a recipe how it happened in Poland, that we have such a big scene, and also like technically we are quite good.
Yeah.
And I think that there are many things. So at the moment, like, we were these crazy people who started Zouk in Poland, but after there were so many other people who contributed, and they still create the scene. And also, it's very important what Christina mentioned before, that in Warsaw and in Poland, we work all together. Even though in Poland, in Warsaw, I think we have at least like 5-6 schools where we have Zouk, we still are very friendly. We have several parties in the week, and everyone goes to the same parties. We create events. All the teachers go to the events from other teachers. So we all work together, and I think that's the good recipe. And also, what's important, we are very hardworking, and when we have passion for something, we just like we don't stop. Yeah. We are like crazy, and I think it's super important to have like a normal studio classes. This is what I missed in London. When I moved to London, I was very surprised that at the beginning, I know that now finally there is UKDC, which I love. But before, when I moved 3 years ago, there were no studio classes. There were only classes at the bars before parties, where levels were mixed, where I think teachers tried to give people more fun than really like a proper technique. And I think this is what we missed in London, because we had it always like in Warsaw, in Poland. We knew that we have to go to the normal classes, get technique, also have fun. And after we would go to practice in the parties, or like people would meet alone to practice or things like this. But the base was to have normal studio classes where you really train technique.
Yeah, 100%.
And sorry to interrupt, but we are going to have to leave the podcast there for this week. Everyone, we're going to come back with part two next week with these lovely ladies. We've got another 45 minutes of questions, stories and experiences with them. So I hope you really all enjoyed, and we will speak to you and hear from you very soon.
Yo pienso en tu mirada, como tú te llamas, solo quiero verte a mi lado, mi cama. Pienso en tu mirada.